T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we are back in the Kia Studios. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, and our homie, Dave Archer, who's on the phone with the Preacher Man right now. We'll bring up the Idaho head puncher here in a second. So much to talk about with Dave Archer, yeah. Obviously a terrific observer and analyst on college and pro football. He's a part of the Falcons Radio Network with my main man, John Michaels, and Wes Durham, and just simply he's one of the best analysts in the business. And I want to start with Dave Archer here. Hey, Preacher Man, we're doing a show. Let's go here. Let's get Arch on the line. Look at this guy right here. What are you reading, a grocery list to Archer?
Maybe.
I'm singing Christmas carols to each other.
Well, here's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to ask him about some of the picks for our confidence pool here.
Well, I want to ask him about Jacob Eason. Could you please? Is he potted up?
I don't think he's on the phone yet.
So we don't have Arch yet. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. We got Preacher Man on the phone. We got a guest coming on here.
All I hear is Paul
Bible.
I see
Dave Archer on the call screen. John, take it away.
He's going, have you been a good boy? Have you been naughty or nice this year, Arch?
Arch said he'd rather talk to me than you, but he's now ready to go.
He is now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Dave Archer.
So, Arch, hit us with this, my friend. We just debated this. You might have heard it. Would Georgia be in the Final Four with Jacob Eason?
Well, I'd like to think that they played well enough as a team that they'd have a chance. They got, a top five defense in the league, in the country. The two backs are the same guy. I'd like to think that Eason has learned enough from his first season. I think they would have had a chance, yeah.
Arch, it's a scenario where I was a guy that was always in favor of you don't lose your job via injury. And that was obviously a scenario that played out differently. Jake Fromm took over, got that team rolling, got them to the number one ranking. They lose the game to Auburn. They get some get back. What side of the fence are you on just in a normal scenario? Player, should they lose their job via injury?
Well, it depends on how long the guy's out, John. I think if the guy's out for a couple of games, then you could see where the guy would come back. But if he's out for an extended period, out longer than a game or two games, then you begin to think, okay, well, wait a minute. What's the kid done? Has he come in and beat Appalachian State, or has he come in and beat Mississippi State and people like that? I think that's kind of where Kirby was, is he's got a quarterback that's doing a good job of taking care of the ball. And that's really what they wanted to do, is they want to take care of the ball at the quarterback position, make a timely throw here or there to extend the drives on third down, make some timely throws in the red zone, but do a good job of understanding the game plan, applying it, and practicing during the week. And that's the problem that the fan maybe doesn't see, is they don't take into consideration what these guys are doing from Monday to Friday. And that's where the evaluation process takes place. Yes, there's a test that you have to take every Saturday, but the evaluation process of what these guys are doing, how are they preparing, how much extra time are they playing, are they spending, how are their teammates responding to them, all that kind of stuff factors in. The fan never sees that. That's all Monday to Friday stuff.
You know what that is? That's a Dave Archer take Rick Kamla deep alert as we enter this next question for the great Dave Archer. Sorry, the solid Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline. Arch, I have Baker Mayfield in the top half of the first round of the 2018 draft. Do you agree?
I don't, Rick. I don't think that I think there's some question marks about him. He plays in a particular system that you line up in the shotgun every snap and you run zone read. I think that maybe the Carson Wentz injury maybe begins to provide people information, the fact you can't run zone read in the National Football League with any kind of regularity, or your quarterback's going to get hurt. And by the way, Wentz is a gigantic guy. Baker Mayfield is not very big. Now, I think that smaller quarterbacks can play in the league. Obviously, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson have proven that. But I think he's more of the Russell Wilson variety, where he drifts into that second, third round, and you get a really good pick there. And he's a guy that comes in and maybe proves people wrong.
Archie, you have a vote, and you texted us this last week for the Heisman Trophy. I did not watch the show in its entirety. I think it's something that's now been dragged out a long time. Do you still like the award? Do you still think the award carries the same cachet that it did maybe 20 years ago?
Well, probably not what it did 20 years ago, because I think part of the mystique of the award was that not everybody could see it. And it was, remember, you go back to, and not 20 years ago, I guess you got to go back further than that, but I remember, you know, you go back to John Cappelletti winning it. You had to kind of wait for the newspaper to come out the next day to find out that he'd won the Heisman Trophy. And it just seemed like it had a little bit, maybe it was a little bit more mystique to it because you didn't get a chance to see everything. I think that we're so, there's so much information available. There's so much going on. I mean, everybody in the country can evaluate whether Baker Mayfield or Love or Lamar Jackson deserved the trophy because they could go watch every one of their games and all that kind of stuff. So maybe some of the mystique is worn off there. I still think it's a pretty cool trophy. I think that there's a lot of tradition attached to it. And I think obviously it's an offensive award and it goes to the top, what's considered to one of the top offensive players in the country. And Baker Mayfield certainly deserved to win.
Dave Archer joining us here on the WayForward.com hotline. And disagreeing with me on Baker Mayfield, that's fine. That's what I anticipated. John and I, Arch, suddenly have a juice box agreement on the Clemson-Alabama game. And I did not know that John was sort of as feisty about his Clemson prediction. And I haven't broken this down every way to Sunday, Arch, but to me, just sitting here, you know, a few weeks out, you give Saban a month to prepare. You give Saban a month to prepare. I'm going to ride with that. So we've got a little juice box agreement here. 20 juice boxes. Which side are you on?
Well, I'm going to take Clemson in the game. I think that I agree with you, Rick, in the fact that I think whenever you get Nick Saban time to get ready to play and get his team ready to play, he'll create some kind of mental hurdle that they have to try to clear, and so that'll make his team play at the highest possible level. Now, they're going to get people back. They've had a lot of people banged up. They'll get people back for the game, so they'll be a little bit more towards full strength, not completely, but a little bit more towards full strength. I think that obviously Jalen Hurts, having played in these games already, he has a feel for it. He will not be awed by it. It seems like he's a guy that really lets water run off his back and doesn't seem to bother him with any kind of pressure. So will Kelly Bryant handle the big moment the way Deshaun Watson did the two times he had a chance to do it? So it'll be interesting to see. But this is a vaunted defense that Hurts is going to go against. It may be a better defense than he played a year ago, and I know that he had some success. But I think that Clemson wins the game.
Arch, before we get to the NFL, and we'll get to the Falcons game coming up here in just a second, we're doing one of these Capital One Bowl Mania Pick'em challenges. Iowa State's only getting about 19% confidence against Memphis, but I've got Iowa State right now as like 16 confidence. Can your Cyclones pull the victory over against that explosive Memphis offense?
Well, I think if anybody's playing any defense in the Big 12, Iowa State's one of the teams that'll play some D. Now, this will be a really tough task to go against a Memphis team. It's a high-scoring team. I'm not sure Memphis can stop Iowa State either. Iowa State's offense, pretty prolific, got an outstanding running back in Montgomery. They got two big-time outside receivers. The quarterback is a guy that's got a chip on his shoulder that I think that, you know, a guy that was kind of left for dead. A couple different programs has come in and rekindled a fire in his career as a senior. So I think they'll come to play. I think they'll be ready to play. I think the coach is going to have them cranked up. This is Iowa State's first opportunity to play in a bowl game in a long time. So there'll be a ton of fans. Iowa State is one of those teams that travels like nobody's business. I know Memphis is playing in their own building, but you can bet there'll be 30,000 Iowa State fans at the game. I mean, they love to go and watch their teams play. So I think it'll be a really good game, and I think it'll be a high-scoring affair. But Iowa State plays enough defense where they might be able to get enough stops to win the game.
Dave Archer joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Arch, a bowl game that I just have to see is Penn State-Washington. Give me an early read on that one.
Penn State-Washington. Wow, that's kind of off the radar a little bit, Rick. When you start talking about those two teams, obviously Penn State's a team we see a lot of back here with Barkley and McSorley and all those guys. I don't have a good feel for it, Rick, so I can't give you a great prediction. I did not watch Washington very much. They were a little off the radar. I know Jake Browning's still slinging it out there for them, and they've got the good back and the good receiver, but I don't have a good feel for them. That one you're going to have to squeeze the trigger on yourself.
Well, we did have a good feeling last Thursday night leaving Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the people with the Florida on the side of their helmet being really upset as the Falcons win 20-17. Arch, all the years of playing and covering games, Have you seen a team win the way the Falcons did when, let's be honest, they probably played a C game at best?
Well, you don't have to go back very far. We beat Arizona and ran through 5 6 in the game. We beat Arizona in our building. Now, that was a big win, and this one was similar to that, where you didn't play very well on offense, but your defense played well enough to give you an opportunity, and then you made a play late. I think that, you know, everybody wants to get on Ryan and this and that. It's hard to play the position. I mean, he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. He had an off day, no question about it. But he compartmentalized enough to make big plays in the fourth quarter. He made a couple of huge throws, a couple of conversion throws, and then, of course, the touchdown to Sanu to get you back in front. And then the defense rises to the occasion and makes the play. So, it's these are the kind of games you got to win. That was a good team you beat. And, yes, there were some things that happened in the game. Kamara got knocked out of the game. I mean, that's not Atlanta's fault. Atlanta hit him, and he got knocked out of the game. So that's not their fault that the guy couldn't finish the game. And then the penalties, it's an undisciplined New Orleans team. It's a team in New Orleans. I told you guys last week going into that game, New Orleans had 24 penalties on their secondary going into that game. Through 11 games, they had 24 either DPI calls or holding calls on their secondary. And that played out. That's exactly the way it played out again. So, I mean, they played exactly the way they've been playing all year long. Atlanta was just better on that night. And so it's going to be a bloodbath in a couple of weeks.
Arch, what do you think about all the complaining and whining that the New Orleans side has done, from Peyton to the fans to, you know, the team wants the NFL to launch an investigation on the official in the game that used to play for the Falcons? I want you to talk to Who Dat Nation, who's complaining and whining right now.
Well, it's typical of that fan base. That's what they do. I mean, they've always cried about stuff. You know, whether it's the Hail Mary pass that we beat them on, or whether we beat them straight up, they cry. They've always cried about those type of games. I never lost those guys as a starter, and so I'm glad that they're having a little misery. We've got to take care of them now in about 10 days or whatever. We'll have to play them again, so be it. They'll get their opportunity down in their building. But, you know, quit crying, buck up, and get ready for the next game, because they're not going to get rolled over by the Jets either. So they better be ready to play this weekend.
Now, we have to be ready to play, obviously, a Monday night or primetime football. Team kind of gets that mini bye from Thursday and even accentuated a little more until Monday. How, as a player, does that help you recover, getting that extra day now going down to Tampa?
Yeah, late in the year, John, huge. As you know, we're around this team a ton. You know, you get beat up. Nobody's healthy this time of year, so you guys a little banged up. I know, you know, Tev's in concussion protocols. Does the extra day give an opportunity to get by that? We'll have to wait and see. But it's certainly, if you're nicked up at all, and this was a physical game, you know, against New Orleans, it always is. So to get a couple extra days to heal up or to try to heal up and get some of those bumps and bruises feeling a little bit better. There's no question about that. I talked to Ryan a couple of times during the off time, and he said it was huge for him. I mean, because you get this time of the season, especially when you get to be 31, 32 years old, you don't feel good for the next game, you know, let alone by midweek. And so to give a couple extra days, that really helps guys get ready, especially this time of year.
John, I have a pre-question prediction.
Okay.
On the answer we're going to get from Dave Archer here right now on the WadeFor.com hotline. Dirk Koetter versus Jameis Winston. I have a feeling Arch will go with the former, not the latter. Arch, what do you think about this rift in Tampa Bay between the quarterback and coach?
Yeah, it's they're downplaying it, Rick. I've read a couple articles about it, and Jameis said all the right things post-game last week. He said all the right things leading into this game about there is no rift. They have a great relationship. Dirk said the same thing, sounded very surprised. I know our guy J.P. Peterson's down there, who we've worked with up here in Atlanta before. He's a guy covering it pretty closely. He seems to think that there's something going on. Usually if there's a little smoke, there's probably some fire there. But make no mistake, Jameis Winston is their franchise quarterback, and so if someone has to go, it will be the coach. It won't be the quarterback. So, but I think that this is going to be something that can be resolved by playing better. I mean, Jameis is the first guy to tell you he turned the ball over 3 times last week. He can't do that if they want to win. And that's what Dirk's pounding him on. Take care of the ball.
Gerald McCoy may or may not play on Monday night. He's got a bicep injury. We handled him really well in the first matchup with Tampa Bay, but this is a guy, Arch, that notoriously has been a Falcon killer. What does he do outside of pass rush that his absence could impact the rest of their defense?
Well, his absence is huge because their front four don't make a lot of tackles, John. When you look at their numbers, you'll find teams where you got a guy like J.J. Watt who have like the third or fourth amount of tackles on a team, or one of those dominant defensive fronts. This is not a defensive front that does that. They rush the passer and they eat up blocks. Their three leading tacklers are their linebackers, and they're their top players. And so with McCoy out and his ability to shoot the gap or to understand what's going on, to be that first quick step where he eats up two blockers to allow Quan Alexander or Lavonte David to come downhill and make a play, then that's huge. That's a big deal for them. I expect Atlanta, if he's out of the game, and even if he is in the game, I think Atlanta should be able to run the football. I think you're going to have a two-way go offensively in this game. You have to have a two-way go in this game. And then you got to give them the reason to say, you know what, let's go make sure the car's running with the U-Haul. You got to go ahead and give them that reason to do that. And that would mean coming out fast, jumping out 14, 17, nothing, and then they're going to be looking for the exit door.
Arch, if we give them a two-way go, could we also give them a sluggo route? could we get a sluggo in there?
You know what sluggo is?
Yeah, it's a slant and go.
There you go, sluggo. I love it, Rick. Hey,
a little sluggo. Yeah.
I love it.
By the way,
Rick,
I'm pretty good at throwing the corner route, Arch. You should see me out there dropping dimes on my boys.
I love it, Juz.
There you go.
He's in the closet and not Laurel watching film.
Arch, I want to add one more to your grab-ass bowl game criteria. It's a grab-ass bowl game if you get a neck pillow in your swag bag gift.
Who's giving out the neck pillow?
The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Hey, if it takes you a full breath to say the name of the bowl, it's a grab-ass bowl game.
Great stuff, Arch. We'll see you on the plane on Sunday.
You the man, Arch.
All right, boys. Take care.
Dave Archer on the waitfor.com.
I love that dude,
hotline.
Man.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. NFL bounce. Is he in or is he out? RELAX. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
If it takes you a full breath to say the name of the bowl, it's a grab-ass bowl game.
All right, so the A word, you just kind of got to let it go when Arch. You know, I mean, it's one of my favorite words, and I've been told not to use it, and I try my best not to use it. But Arch, we love you, man. He is just a stud. The NFL Bounce brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. It's beautiful. It just, just cruises right down the road. Beautiful way to spend an hour and a half in traffic every morning.
Is there really a beautiful way to spend an hour and a half in traffic?
In a 2017 Kia Sorento.
It is.
Or a 2013 black Kia Sorento.
You got rims on it and everything.
Yeah, you were dapping up my rims. I don't even, what's a rim? Is that the thing on the inside of the tire?
Is that
what a rim is?
Yeah, that's the rim.
Preacher man getting a laugh out of that. Actually, head down laughing so hard. I didn't know I had sexy rims.
You do.
I didn't know that I had.
You should have got spinners. Like, go back to the mid-2000s and riding spinners.
Would be spinners.
Skirt, skirt.
What would be more gangster, the spinners or the rims that I have right now?
The spinners.
The dope rims.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Let's do it.
Can I please throw Ian Rappaport under the bus?
Please.
Of NFL Network.
Why do you ask? You do it anyway.
You do it anyway.
It's just a joke, you know, just to get you guys on the mic for a minute. I'm not a fan. Ian Rappaport, to me, throws stuff against the wall and hope it sticks.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, and unfortunately, you'll never get that 2 minutes back. We talked about this yesterday. He's saying, it's difficult to predict if Aaron Rodgers will come back, blah, 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 blah. Give me a break, dude. Mm. The Browns, the Packers beat the Browns on Sunday to prolong their season at 7-6. And you think Aaron Rodgers, after missing 2 months or whatever it is, with his team still very much alive for the playoffs, is going to tap out and not play?
Right.
Have you been paying attention? Aaron Rodgers is one of these guys, John, like Tony Romo back in the day. He would play through whatever he had.
Mm-hmm.
If he could walk, he's playing. If he could lift his right arm, he's throwing the football. He's just that guy. So, come on, man. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers cleared to play. He's going to play against the Panthers on Sunday. John, back to you.
Yeah, I agree. Once they gave him the medical clearance, it's not like he's going to go out there and say, oh, we need 3 weeks to get him back to game speed. No, we're in playoff mode. And the Packers fans everywhere are going, give me some cheese. We're going to win. That's kind of a...
The Bakers.
That's a... For me, that was a bad effort by me.
Try again.
No, I can't. I can't do the
You can't do the Packers?
No, I can't do it.
Going to Lambeau. Yeah. See the Packers.
I'm not going to go shirtless, nor am I going to wear yellow and green overalls anywhere.
And then they say, ah, you betcha. And a lot of people from Minnesota talk the exact same
way. Do they?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's we're brother and sister. Minnesota and Wisconsin, it's like the same state, and you just draw a line in the middle, and you call this side Wisconsin and this side Minnesota, but it's essentially a lot of the same types of people.
Okay. I actually, the times we've been to Green
Bay. A lot of women with love handles, John.
Everybody was very friendly up there. Really, really nice.
You know what they call that?
What's that?
Minnesota nice. There's actually a cliche for how nice Minnesotans are. And then you have Rick Kamla.
You're nice.
I try to be nice, but then sometimes I'm not.
Like 2 days a week, but I mean, at least you're nice some of the time.
It depends. It's case by case,
this
John.
Next story is not going to make Preacher Man feel very nice. Your boy, Paul Kaharsky.
I know Paul personally, a good friend of mine.
He has a report out that Marcus Mariota's balky hamstring and surgically repaired lower right leg remain issues, so much so that they may need to redo surgery.
Yep, I saw that article this morning.
That doesn't make you feel good making a little playoff push, does it?
Those pansies aren't making no playoff push. They're going to fold like a cheap tent like they always do.
What's that? What do you smell?
I'm sniffing a cover-up. Mm-hmm. I'm sniffing an excuse. I'm sniffing a PR spin. If you have watched Marcus Mariota the last 2 weeks, you have wanted to run for cover. Mm-hmm. You have wanted to turn the channel to The View or like an Oprah show with a psychic.
Yeah, we're not John Frick.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. Ugh. He's unwatchable right now. Preacher Man knows this, and I watch all these games. And I had Mariota, Preacher Man, in my big money league. And guess what? We bowed out last week. We got crushed.
Well, here's the thing. It's
in large part because of Mariota.
It's that preseason look. They give you that. They give you the look in the preseason like they're going to go somewhere, and then they remember who they are when the regular season starts.
And the other thing is, on paper, Tennessee is so ready to go. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Great O line, Heisman quarterback, Decker, Davis, Rashard Matthews, one of the best tight ends in Delanie Walker. Top five dual-headed running back scenario in football with Murray and Henry, and yet they score 17 points every game. So that's a malarkey issue, and it's also a Mariota issue. And to me, John, this report right here, I'm smelling a rat. I think Mariota's play has been so stinky and rotten that they're making up an injury type of thing. And I will say right now, I promise you, he will not go back under the knife. This is an excuse to mask the terrible play to me.
We'll catch back up with that story as it progresses. I'm not knocking what you're selling right there because Mariota was supposed to be taking that next step in the maturation process to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He just hasn't been so far this year. Did you see this sad story about Larry Johnson?
No. The former Chiefs running back in Penn State?
Yep. More than 6 years removed from his last NFL snap, the 38-year-old is convinced that he has CTE. He says he has mood swings, memory lapses, headaches, and violent and self-destructive impulses. Johnson calls some of this stuff blank spots. He's actually trying to make a time capsule for his 7-year-old daughter in case he forgets everything that happened. He also felt a sense of urgency to complete the time capsule project in the recent months after Aaron Hernandez committed suicide. They said that was obviously the most severe case of CTE. Johnson goes on to say, quote, I could be Aaron Hernandez. Now, I don't think with the murder aspect attached to it, but I think he's fearing that eventually there's going to be a day that he takes his own life. It's just sad to hear.
It is, and it maybe isn't. Hasn't Larry Johnson made some really terrible decisions since he stopped playing football?
I don't know.
I seem to recall that he has been in the news and in the papers and in a negative way. And so maybe CTE concussions have caused that. Maybe Larry Johnson is just kind of a weirdo. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of peculiar behavior, John, covering, you know, the NFL, fantasy football, reading all this stuff back when Larry Johnson was the guy. And again, like you just hit me with this story. I haven't like done some back research on Larry Johnson, but it seems to me that it's been a checkered past since he left the NFL. So I don't know what to make of this now. Is it a cry for help? Is he looking for sympathy? Is it legitimate? I don't know where I'm at with this right now. I know that I don't trust Larry Johnson. I will say that.
He's been arrested 6 times since 2003. Now, some of these were when he was in the NFL. He was arrested for domestic violence in 2012. 2014, he was arrested for the 6th time after punching a man. He also DJed at a strip club at Tootsie's Cabaret for a while.
So is it CTE or is he a bad guy?
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. I don't know. And so I don't want to say any more because I don't know any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was right. Larry Johnson's had a very checkered past with some knucklehead behavior. And now, again, is he looking for sympathy? I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. But, again, I don't trust Larry Johnson.
I'll be honest, I didn't remember a lot of that stuff. Your memory is there when it needs to be.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Unless it's the college football question of the day.
Must be all those vitamins he's taking out of that little box he's got.
I haven't taken them today, but Charity is kind of proud. She's like, there's no way you're still taking those vitamins, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing my best. I'm making her proud.
Is she listening right now?
Let me think. What day is it? Wednesday? She is currently working out right now with the trainer. Not listening.
Is there any day that you go? Just take the vitamins and just drop them in the trash. Go, yeah, I took them.
No, because they're not a buzzkill. They're not like pills. They're like little compressed wheat germ things, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's good stuff I'm putting in my body.
Okay. You can tell when he's not taking it because when he won't take his estrogen pills and he gets really upset.
Into my feelings.
You're a Flintstone kid, man. And strong and growing.
Hey, did you see
Flintstone vitamins were so good.
Yeah, I wanted to eat those. I was just like, give me like three.
My kids have one a day. Flintstones.
They do?
But they want more, right?
No.
No, do you give them the gummies or
no,
the chewables?
The chewables, because the chewables have iron in them and the gummies don't.
Okay.
I did that about 6 months ago. Bought not just for men. That
you bought just for me.
Actually, you can use just for men.
I'm just saying. The men's health, men's one a day.
Uh-huh.
Gummy vitamins. They were so good, I ate the whole bottle in one night.
It's the healthiest you've ever been, right?
My iron, my B12, my zinc was on fire.
And then
sleep for 3 days.
And then 3 days later, you were in the hospital.
He was neon green.
Because it all just crashed. Hey, real quick before we wrap up the NFL Bounce here, brought to you by Cobb County Kia. You see the salary cap could rise a year from now to $178 million in the NFL.
I need perspective. Does it say what it is right now?
I think it's like 153. It's 167
okay,
this
so,
year.
So
you're talking about $11 million extra dollars.
Yeah, all right. All right, it's got my interest. It's not a spike like the NBA has seen in recent years.
No.
Like just going over the top with their salary cap, and frankly, I love it.
Their salary cap went doing, 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 doing.
It really did. And the NFL just kind of went, doing. Just kind of scooched up a little
bit. $178 million for 53 players as opposed to like $340 million for 15 players.
So
NBA guys are winning.
So, John, the Falcons have made some money off of former Browns. Looks like the Patriots want to as well, picking up Kenny Britt.
Yeah.
Good luck with Kenny Britt.
Well, yeah. You know what song this is? Know what this is, Rick?
No.
Riding Spinners. Riding Spinners.
Preacher Man's favorite song.
They're from Memphis. So, Preacher Man's coming up next with From the Bible. He'll ride spinners on this segment.
So, Rick, just for you, how much would you pay for a private golf lesson with Tiger Woods?
I thought you were going to say Lindsay Pellis. Then it would have gotten really interesting.
That would have been a whole different type of lesson next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
I didn't know I had sexy rims.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This 92.9 The Game.
All right, it's From the Bible time. And Preacher Man, you are interrupting my bowl picks, my confidence picks.
I'll just talk.
Yeah, you're interrupting here. I mean, I am stuck. John Michaels and Paul, I am stuck on the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl, Longhorns and Missouri Tigers. Stuck on that game.
Well, I'll tell you what we're not stuck on. We're not stuck on our sponsor, though. Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration is a sponsor from the Bible. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS. Dunn Waterproofing. Now, as I said earlier, Rick, how much do you think it would cost for you to get a private lesson with one Tiger Woods?
Okay, like how long? Full day, 1 hour. What do you think?
Let's see. Go with it just says private lesson. Doesn't say how long it is.
Okay.
Probably a couple hours, you would assume.
I'm going to say if it's 2 hours, that's 10 gur. I would not be willing to pay that. As a matter of fact, I don't play golf. If I had more free time, I might. But I don't really play golf. But I'm saying 10 grand. What is it?
Knowing Tiger, you ain't getting a ball for 10 grand. I'd say half a mil.
You're over. He's way under. This is actually done through charity. Chris Stroud and Bobby Gates, also tour pros on the PGA. They hosted a Hurricane Harvey relief pro-am at the Tiger Woods-designed Blue Jack National course. And the four-time winning major will give a private lesson for $210,000.
Wow. Okay. I mean, it goes to charity, so that's awesome. But
you're 2.2, so that's only 0.2.
But doesn't Tiger Woods stink now? Why would you want a private lesson from a guy
stink.
Who... I'm just kidding. I'm throwing shade. I'm getting shady on you.
That's why I brought this story.
I was just getting shady on you, John.
I mean, it's still Tiger Woods. I would not pay $210,000. Well, let's be honest. I don't have $210,000 just laying around.
Would you pay $500?
For a lesson with Tiger Woods? Yeah.
Would you pay $2,000?
No.
Okay, we have found. Well, what's the breaking point? A grand?
I think 500. That's. I mean, let me check.
Yeah, text your Ronnie real quick.
I've got $511 in my bank account, so I'm good.
Okay, you can still get a Moe's burrito.
Yeah,
welcome
absolutely.
To Moe's.
Yeah. Well, no, I just ate my chicken breast and three pieces of broccoli.
Rabbit food.
That's just nonsense. My wife wants
Silly
to go
rabbit.
Vegetarian for New Year's. I said, have fun with that. I like meat with my meat. I want bacon around my steak, I want chicken around my bacon, and I want pork around my chicken.
If you are vegan, welcome to always being hungry.
Dude, no need for that. I'm welcoming to being hefty for the rest of my life, and I'm perfectly happy with it.
All right, as we know, two of the Ball brothers are going to Lithuania. Fran Fischel has tweeted out some interesting information about their new coach, and they got this from a... former American player who actually played with the Ball's new coach. The insight is, one, competent coach with freewheeling pick-and-roll offense. Two, speaks no English. Three, screams the entire game. And four, sells meat out of the trunk of his car to make extra money.
I didn't know they sell meat out of the back of his car.
Wait, he really sells meat out of the back of his car?
Yes, sir.
John, I read yesterday that this team in Lithuania that the Balls are going to doesn't practice very much because they don't have any money, okay? So, and I've heard he's a hothead and that he doesn't speak English and doesn't want to speak English and holds that language barrier against American players.
Okay.
Well, so, just to add a little bit to what Fran, and Fran Fischel is my guy. Shout out to him.
He's got to cut practice short because he's got a set of ribeyes he's got to go drop off in Siberia.
Mm-hmm. Some pork chops, some lamb shanks.
Lamb shanks. And the entire time he's just there, come on, get the camera, I mean, you can't do it. And the Balls are going, what does that mean, run the pick and roll? Like, what the hell are we supposed to do here?
Does he have, like, Obey seasoning or some Dales in the back, too?
Get some of that Tony Satcheries
back
there.
Does he have some rub? Got any rub back there? Any, like, pepper rub?
Do you guys do the Tony Satchery? Dude, I put Tony Satchery on everything.
I thought you were talking about Satriani. He's a hell of a guitar player.
No, not him.
That's Joe.
Mark, are you a Tony Satchery guy? No?
You surprised I know who
just
Joe
me?
Satriani is there, Rick?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. He might have had that big metal hair back in the day, right?
That's what they normally do.
Oh, big hair. Big hair. I had big hair. I had a big white man afro back in high school. Just trying to grow my hair out.
That's awesome.
It didn't grow long. It grew out. Like I had a bushy afro in high school.
All right, moving on. So apparently, Kristaps Porzingis is still shooting a shot. Early this month, he followed our girl Jen Seltzer on the IG and liked one of her photos. Well, apparently that has grabbed her attention because it didn't take long for Seltzer to use a unicorn emoji on Instagram, which we all know Porzingis is AKA the unicorn.
Okay.
Seltzer said on Tuesday night that she was going to watch the Knicks game against the Lakers. And she goes, let's go Knicks. And then at the end, after Porzingis, went 37-11 in overtime for the win, she tweeted out, y'all are very funny with a crying emoji face with a unicorn.
Well, apparently, to go a little deeper on this story, Kristaps Porzingis flew her to the game, had her sitting directly behind LeVar Ball, and he, of course, drops 37-11. So I got a feeling that finally shooting his shot in the DM, maybe spending some bread on a plane ticket and courtside seats, might eventually work out for one Kristaps.
All right, speaking of Twitter and lovely ladies, I was just kind of scrolling through some of my followers, verified followers the other day, because I was super bored. And I came across this. Look at the top one who's following me, John. Can you read that?
That's pretty awesome. What does that say? Playmate Trina.
Okay. Preacher Man, do you remember dropping on us as research material Playmate Irina?
Oh, it's Irina.
Yes, because you talk about her all the time.
Okay. Curves for days. Mm-hmm. And very productive. Very provocative follow on Twitter, at Playmate Irina, I-R-Y-N-A. She is following me on Twitter. Drop the mic.
I give him props. That's impressive.
That is pretty awesome.
I don't know why is it has she have like the number of activity. Does it make me look like a stalker? And then she's I don't know. I don't know what's the deal.
Yeah, but is Vanilla Ice following you?
No.
Mic drop.
What about Chuck D?
Vanilla Ice is not even close to as sexy as Playmate Irina.
Is Chuck D following you?
Chuck D's my guy.
Mic drop follows me. Preacher Man, who are you? Who's following you?
Who knows? Mine's private. Nobody follows me unless I let you.
Robbie Rosenhaus. Mic drop.
I'm pretty sure I have
what?
Kate. I'm pretty sure Kate Upton follows me.
Preacher Man? Preacher Man? Diet pizza? Diet pizza? I'm telling you, it's the way to go.
Pretty sure Kate Upton counts.
I don't think Kate Upton follows you.
You want to bet?
Really?
Yeah.
Kate Upton follows you?
Yes.
I hate you.
All right, remember back in the Super Bowl, the tennis player Ginny Bouchard had that tweeted out about the Falcons winning. The guy came at her like the Falcons lost. Well, apparently they went on a date a long time ago.
Yep.
Well, apparently that hasn't stopped. They're now on their third date.
Nice.
So apparently last week, I guess they were hanging out at her house because there was a picture of them together on her sofa. And then fast forward to last Wednesday. When they were hanging out in Miami Beach in bikinis and shorts. So
nice. That kid's winning. Wasn't he like a college kid?
Yeah.
That just shot a shot, and Ginny Bouchard said, all right, let's do the date thing.
Really? Impressive.
So there you go. Shoot your shot. You never know what's going to happen.
We did not have these advantages in our youth.
I mean, like, everybody talks about sliding in the DM. I'm married. Happily married. Yeah. Love me some charity. I ain't trying to slide into anybody's DM, but here's the unfortunate thing. Like, why, when I was single, couldn't I have just slid into somebody's DM just once, just to know what it's like and experience the whole slide in the DM, you know, sensation?
I used to have a decent slider, but I was not sliding in anybody's DMs. Actually, my slider was pretty mediocre. My 12-6 curve wasn't bad.
You had a yacker?
Yeah, I had a 12-6 over the top. My slider didn't slide very much.
I'd slide into MySpace top 8. You know it.
You know you used to do that. You go through, I'm in her top 8?
Yes, sir.
Message.
Here he comes. To be on Friendster?
All right,
Preacher Man.
So, early research material, Playmate Irina. All right, Preacher Man, who else?
All right, today's research material is Alejandra Pineda.
Pineda.
Sounds like a Pirates relief pitcher.
Now, if you go to Instagram, it's A-L-E-J-A. Pineda 1.
Man, that's an alphabet soup right there.
Well, trust me, because if you just type in her name, you're going to get multiple options. You want to make sure you get to the right option.
That you will get. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll replay and rehear some of what Grady Jarrett had to say to Dukes and Bell. But don't forget, tomorrow night, 8:30 to 10:30, Buffalo Wild Wings, Cumberland Mall location. It's our 92.9 The Game Thursday Night Football Watch Party. Coming out, watch Denver take on Indianapolis, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Hear what Grady Jarrett had to say next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Weekday mornings on The Game. It's John and Hugh.
Bad news here. One of the greatest Falcons of all time, Tommy Nobis, has passed away at the age of 74. Hall of Famer, fantastic player, and he is gone at the age of 74, born back in September of 1943. Our condolences to Tommy Nobis' family and friends.
He was the first ever player drafted by the expansion Falcons. Five-time Pro Bowler, played 11 years for the Atlanta Falcons organization. Also a member of the Ring of Honor in the College Football Hall of Fame. I do not believe he's made it into the actual NFL Hall of Fame as of yet.
Nope. There's a push to get him in, but he's a College Football Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. He was the Defensive Rookie of the Year by Sporting News back in 1966. Associated Press, first-team All-Pro in 67, second-team All-Pro in 68, part of the All-Decade team of the 60s. His number 60 is retired. NFL record 294 tackles as a rookie. Won the Outland Trophy, the Maxwell Award, the Newt Rockne Memorial Trophy, consensus All-American in 65.
He had 294 tackles?
That's what it says.
That has to be a record for a single season in the NFL.
As a rookie, it was.
Dude, guys, right now, if you have 130 tackles in a season, you're probably leading the league in tackles.
Yep, 294 combined tackles, which still stands as the team's all-time single season record and is unofficially the most tackles ever credited to one player in a season in NFL's history. So there you go.
In a season or in a game?
It says in a season. No, you didn't have 294 in a game. That would really be a record.
Okay, that's why I was tripping out, man. I thought they don't have that many plays in a game. But, God bless Tommy Nobis, man, as he makes his way to heaven. And God bless, family and friends and people who are sad and hurt and somber right now. We're feeling for you.
Got to imagine the team will probably have some way of honoring him, especially when they come back home. The next two games are on the road with Tampa Bay and New Orleans, but you got to imagine that home finale, him being in the Ring of Honor. There'll be something up on the video board to memorialize Tommy Nobis. So sad day for Atlanta Falcons fans.
No doubt. Condolences. Condolences. So Grady Jarrett is a weekly contributor to Dukes and Bell. And we're going to run some cuts from the Grady Jarrett interview right now, react a little bit. Jason Longshore, radio analyst for Atlanta United. We are the home, of course, of Atlanta United. He's going to join us in the next segment talking about some of the signings by Atlanta United. I know that they have added a big-time player, so we will talk about that. And ask the question that we asked earlier in the show, with Wentz out, you know, who's the favorite in the NFC? But let's start with a Grady Jarrett cut right here with Dukes and Bell recently about how impressed Grady has been with the defense of late.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, you know, we definitely expect to know what we had on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, it's good to be able to come out and get a game that was really won on defense, you know. Unfortunately, had, you know, a couple turnovers, but we stood up. You know, we stood up and had some good responses and stopped a really good offensive team. So, I mean, it was really good to, you know, play on a defense as hungry as we are. And we, you know, as I say, week in and week out, I just feel like, you know, we still got some areas to improve. And even with it being only three games left in the season, that's a super exciting part for us. And we know we just more hungry than ever.
Well, the part that they have to improve is just simply turnovers. They did come up with a turnover in the biggest moment of the game. But think about the only two losses they've had in what? They're 5-2, I believe, in the last seven games, or 4-2, something like that.
5-2.
The two losses they have. Carolina, defense stood tall and did their job. Minnesota, they gave up 14 points. You can't ask for much more out of the defense. I get it. They're not turning it over. They might not be a team that's just, you know, completely shutting people down, but the thing that matters the most is giving up points in this league, and they're not giving up points at a high clip, and that's why they're winning football games.
John, those two losses are on the offense. They combined
absolutely
for 26 points against 26 points, 9 against Minnesota, 17 against Carolina. You shot yourself in the foot over and over again in both of those games, and that's been a recurring theme. I mean, you shot yourself in the foot against Miami and Buffalo. I wouldn't say they shot themselves in the foot against New England. They didn't even make the trip. They were a ghost team. That was a shell Falcons team. I still don't know how to explain what happened up in New England. I really don't. I mean, not to bring heavy metal at all up there. I don't get it.
Yeah, it was not good for them at all, and that's unfortunately a scenario. That, to me, was the turning point of the season, though, for the better. You played like crap, and you've kind of turned it around since then, and you've been a heck of a lot better team, and that's why you're on the right side of the playoff line. Here's some more with Grady Jarrett, Dukes and Bell yesterday. His reaction to Deion Jones and the big pick against New Orleans.
Oh, man, it was awesome. You know, it felt really good to be able to end the game and you know, get out of there with a W in a tight game, because they were in position to, you know, kick a field goal, or, you know, if it didn't work out for them, then the next couple of downs after they converted on the fourth down to, you know, go in the field goal and take it to overtime. But, I mean, Debo got that pick, man. It was awesome. The crowd was electric. I ran all halfway across the other side of the field. So, I mean, it was, you know, I look back as I was rushing, you know, when he threw the ball and I see him go up and catch it. And, you know, that was just an amazing feeling, man. It couldn't end any better. And so it was really good. It was really good, and we was happy to get that win. Much needed it very well.
Great description by Grady Jarrett. John, I want to encourage our viewers, those that have a pool, a lake, a pond. I don't know, maybe you go to the health club and you get some laps in.
A canal?
Maybe a canal. Maybe a canal. Here's what I encourage to anybody who has any of those opportunities. Do the Debo interception pose into the pool. You know, so jump backward, catch the ball, and then try to flip your knees up so that you land flat on your back into the water. It probably worked better off a diving board of some sort, John. And I certainly don't want anybody to hurt themselves. Make sure you're in about 5 or 6 feet of water before you do this little stunt. But for real, like, that was – you just don't see that in the NFL. You see backpedal interceptions where a guy goes back and catches it and does some, you know, somersaults over and over. You don't see a play where a guy leaves his feet, catches the ball, braces it against his chest, and lands flat on his back in the end zone. I can't think of a game or a moment in college or pro football where I've seen that happen. It was just a super rare, awesome play.
Yeah, typically when they land flat on their back, the ball pops out and it lands on the ground and it ends up being an incomplete pass. Deion Jones, that's a hell of an interception. You may not see a better one, especially in the time and situation that that game is under. You lose that football game, boy, it's a completely different tone right now in the Kia studios.
Totally, man. And it's an indication of how talented he is and how athletic he is and why the Falcons took him so high and have put so much trust in him. You have to be a great player to make a great play like that in the clutch, and certainly Debo is that.
Elsewhere, here's some more Grady Jarrett talking about his impression of our rookie, Tack McKinley.
He's doing a wonderful job, man. He's doing better as the year goes on. He's been effective in the run game as well. You know, he get a couple tackles for loss here and there, some tackles on some effort plays. I mean, he plays with a high energy, high motor, and very, very passionate. So, I mean, it's good to see him go out there and have some success. And I know this is just the very, very beginning for him, you know. And so it's excited. I'm excited to see his growth, you know, as the years to come. And but just trying to finish out this season as strong as he can, you know. So as strong as we all can. So, I mean, there's a lot out there still for us.
You got a pretty good team, John, if you can take a first-round pass rusher and he kind of barely plays for you.
Right.
You got a pretty good team, if that's the case. I mean, it's almost a luxury pick. It's almost one of those, you know, well, let's just go one deeper at this spot. And again, neither John nor I want an edge rusher in the top three picks in this upcoming draft. And if it happens, we're going to have some different conversations. But it's just such a luxury to have Tack McKinley. You know, he's like a great pitcher out of the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? You just go to the righty out of the bullpen, and he comes in and brings heat off the edge, man. But it is a real luxury. I don't know how many other teams in the National Football League are not starting their first-round pick, you know, without an injury or something happening. So that's a pretty rare, awesome situation.
Here's what's awesome is he's had a couple of sacks in the last three games. He had a sack against Minnesota, a sack against Tampa, and a sack against Seattle. So three of his five sacks have come down the stretch when typically a lot of rookies hit the wall. What you just mentioned, he's not going out there getting 60 snaps a game. He's probably getting 25 or 30. And so he's making the most of the opportunities that he has there. And it's really cool to watch Tack. Tack is an angry dude on the field. He's not angry off the field. He just plays with an edge, and you like seeing that edge.
I want to see more of it, and we will in the years to come. This year, he's in the rotation that he's in. He's in the lane that he's in, and he's likely to stay there. All right, more with Grady Jarrett with Dukes and Bell. Grady's reaction to all the penalties in a really bizarre game against the Saints.
I mean, it was a physical game. We knew that they wanted to run the ball up front. You know, we did a really good job of stopping the run, only 50 rushing yards to a team that was, you know, doing really good, moving the ball very effectively. So, I mean, it was a physical game, you know. I don't recall any – I know we was going back over stat. As far as penalties called on us on the defense, we didn't really have any. Mm-hmm. You know, same story week in and week out. I felt like I could have gotten me a couple, you know, couple holding calls or something. But but, I mean, it's all – it's whatever. But, I mean, this is a physical game. We know that. Division, Falcons, Saints, it is what it is, you know. But I don't recall anything dirty.
Okay.
I think I would say very physical, though. Just how, you know, that's how we like it, and that's what we expected. But I wouldn't say anything dirty.
One of the most physical games in the regular season we've been a part of in a while. Those two teams were getting after it. They were hitting it. I love the fact that Grady Jarrett just throws that out there. You know, probably could have had a couple holding penalties on me because he'll get to the backfield. I watch Vic Beasley get held blatantly. I watch Grady Jarrett get held blatantly. It happens. There's going to be missed calls. There's going to be calls that maybe should not have been made. But the scenario that played out was the Falcons won, and that's all that really mattered.
I'm looking back at my notes, the doctor scribble on my Falcons and Saints note. Notes, and I can't find where the roughing the passer penalty was. Was that against Grady Jarrett? Or wait a minute, it was a Saint player,
yeah,
on
it
Matt
was the
Ryan.
Same player.
All right,
on Matt Ryan.
I'm getting confused here. But a really crazy game, man. And Grady Jarrett, just a great dude, and does a great job with these interviews with Dukes and Bell. And John, you know what? We need more from Grady Jarrett.
We do. Grady's played well, though.
I don't say that in a criticizing way. I'm just saying we got three games to go, plus playoffs. Grady, we need even more from you.
Crank it up.
Crank it up, baby.
That's what we need. Hey, here's his thoughts on the next game they need to crank up for, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, man, we don't have a choice but to have great energy. You know, it's inevitable that, you know, our backs are against the wall right now, but we got to take it one game at a time, and we 100% focus on Tampa Bay. Don't take them lightly. Like I said, another division game. All our games left are division games. They're going to be intense no matter both teams, 0-12, 1-1, it don't matter, you know. So we have a lot at stake, and so do that. They're tough competitors, you know, a lot of pride on the line. And, you know, get another crack at them. They get another crack at us to try to get a win. Nobody wanted to be swept by our opponent. So they're going to give us everything they got. And we know that. But, you know, we want to be the ones to go out there and set the tempo, you know, on Monday night. And we know that it's not going to be an easy task. We don't take them lightly. And we're going to prepare in that way.
I kind of don't like hearing Grady Jarrett say our backs aren't against the wall, because they kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
You lose to Tampa Bay, you're probably not making the playoffs. So, Grady,
nope.
Love you. I don't agree with that phraseology at all. Your backs are against the wall. I realize that this is an inferior opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in that way he's saying that the backs aren't against the wall. But our Falcons' backs are firmly up against the wall. You lose any of these last three games and you suddenly go from likely to make the playoffs to unlikely to make the playoffs. And, John, last year we go to Tampa Thursday night, November 3rd, put a beatdown on Tampa Bay. The final score was 43-28, not indicative of what a beatdown that was. So we have a track record of prime time, brutality down there at Raymond James Stadium against the Buccaneers, and we need more of it on Monday night.
Mike Conti, who does a great job here, follow him online on Twitter at MikeConti929, put out a couple of things yesterday that tell you you should have more confidence in this game against Tampa Bay. Falcons offensive line, first eight games of the year, they gave up on average 5.8 quarterback hits and 1.8 sacks allowed. Not really good. Last five games, down to 3.8 quarterback hits and only 0.6 sacks allowed. Matt Ryan, when hit five-plus times in a game this year, 89.3 average quarterback rating. When hit four or less times in a game, 100.8 average as a quarterback rating. The Buccaneers, by the way, dead last in sacks in the NFL.
Oh, that's a shocking statistic.
It is.
That is unbelievable based on McCoy, and they've got other good pass rushers up front,
Robert
and
Ayers,
you've got Levante David, and you've got Quan Alexander and all these guys. That is a shocking stat. And, John, really what it tells you is that this team kind of surveyed, they're making business decisions down there, kind of like the Florida State defense did after the injuries and the losses early in the season. They're like, you know, man, is the NFL draft here yet? And I think for Tampa Bay, it's like, 3-2-1 Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
They're a more talented defense than what they're putting out on the field, with one exception. Their secondary sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It is brutal. It's terrible. Like, their first four draft picks should be corner, corner, safety, safety.
Just crazy, because they just spent a draft choice on Vernon Hargraves.
He's trash.
And he hasn't been very good. Brent Grimes is in the back end of his career.
Good player, but yeah.
Love Brent Grimes.
Like you said.
Yeah, back end of his career. Got another check or two to cash. Who are
they? He did have a nice fumble recovery in return against us a couple weeks ago.
Who made that tackle? Somebody came down and saved it because he was gone.
Might
have been Mosanu.
I can't remember.
Bro. Yeah, it's 3 weeks ago.
Too many parties, too much Tito's.
A lot of football in between.
And lots of games.
Yeah, there was all of that.
You guys are totally distracting me from making my bowl picks here.
How many of
you guys are in the way?
Well, I've had problems. The link hasn't been sent. I just resent it. How many picks have you made?
Well, I'll be honest. I've made none in the system, but I'm making them here on a sheet of paper because it's a confidence pool. So I've gone 41 all the way down to 1, and now I'm placing the games in at the different numbers based on confidence. And I can tell you that the powers that be with the NCAA did an awesome job of setting up very even matchups, very tough to call, like for Virginia Tech, Okie State. Coin flip. Stanford, TCU, coin flip. Washington State, Michigan State, coin flip. Mm-hmm. So I'm battling with some of these games right now, but have fun, man. Go out there. I think it's called the Capital One Bowl Mania on ESPN. Sign up and do the confidence thing, because that's what me and John are doing right now.
You and I do it so differently. I literally go win, loss, win. I just go straight down the thing, and then my confidence, I'll rank like the top six or seven that I really have confidence in, and the rest of them I literally just go, we'll move this here, we'll move this. There's no rhyme or reason to what I'm doing.
We're like brothers, man. Our brothers, like a brother-sister combination or a brother-brother combination, they're the exact opposites, right?
Hey, Mark,
but we love each other.
I think we ought to build bunk beds. We're going to do that during a commercial. We're going to build bunk beds here in the studio and see if we get Terry really, really mad. And actually,
prestige worldwide, baby.
Worldwide. We'll talk to Jason Longshore next about Atlanta United. United.
Who's driving the boat?
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I like meat with my meat. I want bacon around my steak. I want chicken around my bacon. And I want pork around my chicken.
We hit Terminus!
All right, John Michaels with some interesting food choices right there. Thing is, he just ate rabbit food, and he ate quite a bit of it, and shockingly, he's still hungry. Amazing. And then you just go eat fat guy food, and guess what? It tastes great.
Yeah.
It fills you up.
Mm-hmm.
It satisfies you and all that.
Yeah, I just had a chicken breast with broccoli and corn literally 30 minutes ago, and I'm hungry again.
Boring.
Yeah. Jason, you don't ever have to do any of the diet stuff. You're in relatively good shape.
I had Fox Brothers for lunch, man.
My God. What'd you have? Did you have brisket? Did you go pulled pork?
Pulled pork, some mac and cheese. I'm good.
Can't go wrong with any of that.
Dude, you know that is pork is off the low cholesterol diet.
Of course it is.
You know, but
it's like all cholesterol.
But I might have had a Willie's pork burrito yesterday.
Again, the wife
I
must
might
be.
Have.
She
Maybe.
Must be still
Allegedly.
Working out.
I might have. I think I purchased it with cash, Preacher Man.
As you should.
You can't leave a paper trail.
No. Would she really check behind you?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's funny.
That's yes.
Detective Haynes is on the beat.
We've got Jason Longshore in studio with us, and you're asking why? Well, soccer's over. Well, no, there's a lot of moving parts going on today. Jason, it's good to see you. How's your pseudo off season been?
There's not much of an off season in MLS anymore. Used to be back in the day, you'd have like 4 months off, mm-hmm. and now it's about 6 weeks. You know, the final was Saturday. Toronto gets it done. They win the championship, and the off season starts immediately. You had the expansion draft yesterday with a Los Angeles FC coming in. And Atlanta United has been active so far in this offseason. And the news just dropped. Darlington Nagbe, that's a blockbuster deal in MLS.
Well, tell us more.
Darlington Nagbe is one of the most technical players in the league. Technique, speed, quickness, he's got all of that.
Do we need him, Jason?
He makes you better. He makes you immediately better. You went and took a position, the number eight, the box-to-box midfielder role, that was already good. You had the pairing with Jeff Lorenowitz and Carlos Carmona that was very good. You add a Darlington Nagbe into it. This team gets faster. They're able to break opponents down better. Nagby's a better dribbler. One of the best passers in the league. Connected 92% of his passes last year. He is an unbelievable talent. And the funny thing is the knock on him has been that he's not selfish enough. Mm-hmm. He doesn't score a ton of goals, doesn't have a ton of assists. Here, behind that front four of Martinez, Vishalba, Almiron, he's not expected to score a bunch of goals and have the assist. He's linking the play. Perfect fit.
We got Jason Longshore live in studio. You mentioned Jeff Lorenowitz. He's a guy that was left as a free agent and then quickly re-signed by Atlanta United. Explain to us some of the dynamics, how the offseason works in MLS, as opposed to, you know, the NFL, we know that this guy's going to be a free agent this day, and everybody's getting a chance to bid on it. How does it work in MLS?
It's kind of the same thing, and Atlanta United was trying to come to a deal with Jeff Lorenowitz before free agency opened. They left it as late as they could to announce that they had declined the option on him. Mm-hmm. They were trying to come up to a new deal. I guess they weren't comfortable with the option number. They were able to, once he went into free agency, snatch him up before anybody else could. That was a big concern for a lot of people because Lorenowitz came in last year as a free agent and was maybe the biggest surprise in the team. He wasn't expected to be a starter at that level, and he was among the best in the league in that position at defensive midfield.
Talking soccer with our guy Jason Longshore. He joins us every week during the season, and it's great to see him. Great to hear your voice, Jason. Shout out to Adam Schick as well, the great play-by-play man for Atlanta United. I want to follow up on the Lorenowitz situation. So you mentioned maybe the option number wasn't what Lorenowitz's side wanted, and so they go to free agency. So what ended up being the economics? Was it better for Atlanta United, or was it better for the Lorenowitz camp?
And that's what we don't know. That's one thing that MLS does keep very private is those salary numbers. The players' union will issue them twice a year, and we won't know till the spring what that number ends up being. Lorenowitz last year was on about $175,000. He could go up to $210,000 in free agency. That's where his cap hit would be. That was the most anybody could offer him. I don't know if he got that much. I think at his stage of his career, the stability was probably something else he was looking for, maybe multiple years and a longer-term deal.
Jason, I got to follow up. How can a big-time player in MLS for a team that packs the house every night only be making maybe $200,000 a year?
Well, see,
that does not work for me based on what baseball players make, let alone, you know, what basketball players mm-hmm. make. But it seems like you said like 175 and 210. I'm like, oh, what? This is for one of the better players on the team?
Yeah, this is the difference in MLS compared to other leagues. And this is what Atlanta United's doing to it, too. Teams around the league have not been packing 70,000 in mm-hmm. on a regular basis. You know, most stadiums are in that 20,000 range. So the salaries have steadily grown. The next CBA, I think, is going to be really interesting between MLS and the players because it comes up after the 2019 season when you've had Atlanta come in, you're having Seattle pack it out, you're having Toronto draw. The numbers being thrown around for players are so much bigger than they've ever been. I'm expecting that salary cap to really go up after 2019.
Do you ever think there'll become a time in MLS where guys don't look to go back overseas because the salary matches the play that's happening over here?
Yeah, 100%. I think Atlanta's kind of leading the way for a lot of that discussion right now. You know, the big rumor that is still out there is a player named Ezequiel Barco from Independiente in Argentina. He's an 18-year-old who is starting in a South American championship match tonight in Brazil. He is that good. He takes penalties for his club at 18. He is that big of a deal. Barcelona scouted him. Zenit St. Petersburg reportedly made an offer. Benfica from Portugal made an offer. It looks like he might be coming to Atlanta. Independiente is making that decision tomorrow when they meet after this final. He is as promising of a young player as there is out there in the world. Most magazines have him as like a top 20, under 20 talent in the world. He's that good, and he might be choosing to come here instead of going to Europe.
Percentage chance that we get him?
Probably 50-50 right now.
Really?
Maybe even a little bit better than that. And here's the reason why. You know, you look at Tata Martino, and you look at what he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. The scout who discovered Ezequiel Barco is a man named Jorge Grifo. Like, when you look at sports, you know, you have those names who just understand talent, no talent. He is that in Argentina. He also helped discover Tata Martino as a player. So the roots are there. You know, for a player who's looking to improve and make that next step in his career, do you go to Europe, sit the bench, or get loaned out to a smaller club, or do you come to play for a legend from your country in Tata Martino? You're probably going to come here and make good money, live in a great city, and be in a better environment than a lot of clubs around the world can offer you.
You talk about all the guys that Atlanta could be picking up. Who could they be losing off of last year's roster, or who have they already lost?
That's the question. Is you have Yamil Assad, you have Anton Walks still, who were here on loan last year. Nothing has been announced on what's next for them. I think it's going to be tough to fit both of them into this roster going forward. Carlos Carmona is probably the biggest question next. With Larentowicz and Nagby coming in, I would expect that that's your pairing in the holding midfield. Carmona, who's attracting interest in Chile, where he's from, club has reached the South American Championships for next year. Colo Colo, they're looking to invest. They want to go get a top Chilean player. Carmona is a player they've targeted. So there could be a good deal for Atlanta in selling Carmona and making all the financials work.
Based on the moves we're making, based on the success of last year, should the expectation going into 2018 be MLS Cup or bust? Or is that a little unrealistic?
Right now, as the roster sits, that might be slightly unrealistic. If Ezequiel Barco comes and you keep Miguel Almiron, if the offers don't materialize for him in January and he's here next year and Joseph Martinez and everybody else is back, this is an MLS Cup type of team. This is a team that can push Toronto, who's coming off the best season in MLS history.
Toronto just picks up the championship. They win the cup, as you mentioned, a couple of days ago. Is there any like look back factor now of slight disappointment that Atlanta didn't make it further than they ended up making it?
There is. When you go back and look at it, Atlanta and Toronto, two draws. Two draws, two of the best matches in MLS in 2017. Atlanta could stand toe-to-toe with the best in the league. The problem, if you go back to the regular season, was they dropped points against the lesser lights, and that's what hurt their standing in the playoffs. You go into a knockout game where anything can happen, and you run up against one of the best goalkeeping performances I've ever seen from Zach Steffen in Columbus, and you're out.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was like, dude, let one in. Come on. Come on, just let one in,
just
please.
One.
Just one. Just
all
one
we
in,
need.
Man. Come on, just let up a little bit on us, man. Jason Longshore hanging out with your boys, Rick and John, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Any postseason awards for any of our guys? Rookie of the Year, MVP, Coach of the Year, Exec of the Year? What's going on here?
Julian Gressel won Rookie of the Year. Pretty dominating performance there. And for a guy who was in and out of the lineup, kind of a utility player coming in, but scored goals, had assists. Julian Gressel had a great first year. The question for him in 2018 is, where does he fit? You know, is he going to be the same type of role as a super sub, a guy off the bench, a guy who can fill in really anywhere in the attack? We don't know yet. Diego Valeri from Portland won MVP, and he should have. Almiron had a great campaign, but Valeri carried the Portland Timbers. He was the Portland Timbers attack. Manager of the Year, Greg Vanney won it from Toronto, and I think he deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, best regular season in MLS history. He wins the cup. Any other year, I think Tata Martino wins that.
Any plans for the Rose Bowl?
Sorry, John.
You getting hyped up for that?
I am. I wish I could make that trip, but I don't have that type of scratch. We were talking about salaries in MLS. Hey, I'm the same way. So I would love to make that trip, but I'm looking at if they get through it, maybe finding a way in the building here.
We tried to set up a GoFundMe page here, and the legal teams of both CBS and Entercom said, eh.
That was my next idea.
Because we were going to try to get Mark Owens to go to the Rose Bowl. He said, dude, I'll take a 24-hour trip, fly out there, go to the game, fly back. No sleep. And it didn't happen.
Life isn't fair.
Yeah, sleep's overrated.
Apparently so are GoFundMe pages.
Yeah, well, no, they're
corporate legal.
Yeah, I was saying, corporate legal doesn't like it. Great stuff, Jason. Keep us updated on what's going on, and you know you're welcome here anytime.
Yeah, stay tuned. There could be more moves coming, so keep your eyes out.
Jason Longshore, our guest on the WadeFord.com hotline. We read between the lines.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.